The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy Ihara, your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, and my co-host here, gerontologist, Miss Melissa Mansfield. How are you, Melissa?
I'm excellent. It's been such a long week, and I'm so happy it's the weekend.
Well,
it's been a long, long week.
Everybody works on the weekends, right? You do, right?
You know, I do my volunteer on the weekend.
Yeah, now you do volunteer at Kahalanui?
Kahalanui and Hospice Hawaii.
Oh, great. Well, good for you. Well, there's the topic right here. So if you've been reading the newspaper, and I take the Advertiser, that's probably one of the first things I do in the morning is to read the newspaper. Then I look at my iPhone, my phone, and what's going on for the day. But and if you've been reading regularly, like I do, you've been seeing a lot of articles about death with dignity, end-of-life options. And as you see, I guess, can I say the face of this issue now, John Radcliffe, the one of the biggest lobbyists in the state of Hawaii, former head of the, I didn't know he was head of DOE for a while. Is that no. Department of Education, wasn't he?
I'm not sure that he was head of DOE. Okay. I don't really know.
Okay. Anyway, that speaking is Miss Mary Steiner from Compassion and Choices. So, Mary, welcome back. Did we have you before?
I think I've been on this show before, yeah. But it's been a good number of years.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's always been a topic. Compassion and Choices, why don't you give us our background a little bit on Compassion and Choices first, and then we'll explain what the show is about today.
Compassion and Choices Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that... We're a nonprofit organization that is committed to helping people plan for and achieve the best end of life possible. We educate, we advocate, and we support.
And so you're the local, I guess, what, area manager?
My title is Hawaii Campaign Manager.
Campaign Manager.
I am local. I'm here on the ground. And we now have quite a great team that I work with here.
Yeah. Well, Mary, you've been around many years, and I've known you for many years. But Compassion Choices is the nation's oldest?
We are the nation's oldest organization that deals with end-of-life issues.
And very active. I mean, just recently... Which state was recently passed the law?
Colorado did it by referendum on election day. 65% of the public in Colorado voted in favor of end-of-life choice, or as we would say, medical aid in dying.
Uh-huh.
Now it's in Washington. It's in Washington, D.C. They've passed an ordinance, and that has to go on to be approved. They have a whole process in D.C., and it's on the road to be approved in Washington, D.C., we hope.
I just read that was December of 2016,
so very recently. Very recently, right. So we're waiting on that one. Colorado, before that, passed it last spring, and that's been very successful so far moving forward, working with doctors, working with care providers, working with clients, patients, individuals who need to know that this is an option that they can ask for. What we're really doing is moving toward patient-centered care, where the patient gets to choose what it is that's best for them, best for their family, best for them for their spiritual life. We try to work with them so that it can be all things, and they get to make the best choice that way.
Now, wasn't this issue brought up many years ago, wasn't it?
This issue in Hawaii, as far as I know, it goes back 1998. Governor Cayetano put together a blue ribbon panel on living and dying with dignity. That panel came out with 8 recommendations, 6 of which were implemented pretty quickly. And the last 2 had to do with death with dignity or medical aid in dying, and they are still waiting to be passed. And that's what we're looking to do this coming legislative session. It's right. time.
Now, so have you done any kind of groundwork in terms of educating the politicians and the senators and House representatives? Have you done much workshops with them at all?
We are been meeting with the legislators individually. We have several lobbyists that we are working with who are helping us to reach out to legislators. Yesterday, we delivered legislative packets to every single lawmaker in the square building. And on this coming Tuesday evening, the 31st, we're holding a public education event at the state capitol in the auditorium at 5:30 in the evening.
Right, I saw that. So, I mean, it's such a hot topic. I mean, you have sides, I'm sure, Melissa, you have an opinion, but then you also have a professional opinion.
Correct.
Your family's opinion and
yes.
what your public can say as an opinion. I mean, I think having options, my personal opinion, is good.
Yeah, I think options to decide on, of course, you take everybody's opinion into consideration, but ultimately it is your life and it is your death. So that is the decision that has to be made. What is best for the patient? Like you said, patient-centered.
Patient-centered care mm-hmm. is really what's best for each individual. And many, many, many people do not take advantage of medical aid in dying. I mean, the majority don't, and they will not. So this is for a very specific group of terminally ill people whose pain becomes so excruciating that even palliative care is not able to help them. And right. they're the folks that we are really helping to help through this.
Well, the article in the paper, I mean, if you haven't read the paper, I'd get the paper. For the last couple of 3 weeks, maybe, there was articles in the big one just recently in the midweek, right?
Right.
On John Radcliffe here, big spread. His story is very touching. I've met him personally maybe a couple of times, but very touching. And when it hits home is when some of you personally know, you know.
Right. What I say, and I've heard, I didn't make this up, but I've heard it before, that everybody is one bad death away from being an advocate for this issue. Many of us are of an age now that where we've been through bad deaths with one parent or another, or with a spouse or a loved one. And so once you've experienced somebody having a really bad death, you do become an advocate for medical aid in dying.
Well, if you're just tuning in just now, we're covering the biggest hot topic, the most biggest topic is the rail. Now comes then comes death with dignity or medical aid in dying. And so we're talking with Mary Steiner, and very shortly we'll have Mr. Blake Oshiro, actually a retired politician, right? Now and on the side of medical aid in dying. He'll be here shortly, but can we back a little bit, Mary? The law that's going to be brought out, is that law going to be the same with other states? Is it very similar? Is it identical? Is it different?
It's got similarities. We're looking at HB 201.
HB 201.
201, which was introduced by Speaker Joe Suki.
Okay.
And he discussed it at his opening speech.
Oh, did he? I missed that.
And advocated for it, yes. And it's a bill, it's not, all bills ultimately are based in one way or another on the Oregon law.
The death with dignity.
The death with dignity law, which has been in effect now for almost 20 years.
I know. I saw the date. I couldn't believe it's been almost 20 years.
What we're introducing here in Hawaii is a little bit different because we've had big discussions about when does a safeguard become a barrier. And the Oregon law 20 years ago was written with lots and lots and lots of safeguards in
sure.
quotes. And we now have 20 years of experience to look at and reporting to know that all those safeguards weren't really
needed.
Necessary. Mm-hmm. We also have Washington State information. And so we're saying now we have a total of 30 years of experience to look at. There has not been one single allegation of abuse of a death with dignity law anywhere. So which is what takes us now to Hawaii, where we're thinking that we don't really need to have all of those once we're safeguards, but because of our special culture and our geographic situation, they really do become barriers. If you're living on Hawaii Island and you have a law that requires that you have two doctors verify that you need to have that you are terminally ill and that you are eligible for this medication, it might be very hard to find two doctors who are willing to certify that for you.
Well, I can tell you right now, what I've heard recently is that if you break a bone after 6 o'clock in the evening, you can't find one doctor to work on you that night.
Yeah, there's no doubt we have a doctor shortage here, which is one reason why having two doctors that you need to go to just is, it's just too much for somebody.
Because ultimately you would have to fly over to find the two doctors, and that's a cost, airfare.
It could be expensive if there's not a doctor on your island. Mm-hmm. If there's not a doctor on Molokai,
right?
What do you do?
Right. So in the House Bill 201, the bill reads is only going to require only one doctor?
What the bill reads is that it's to be by the medical standard of care. And there is clinical criteria now that has been published on the medical standard of care for terminally ill individuals who want to obtain a prescription for medication. So that medical standard of care is what all doctors use on all issues when something's wrong with you. They go through procedures, and the medical standard of care for Hawaii would be this no different for medical aid in dying.
And so are there any other nuances with our Hawaii bill that there might be something we need to be aware of that's different than the other states?
Our reporting requirements, right now several of the other states have reporting requirements. Hawaii's Bill 201 is not looking at reporting to the Department of Health as to how many prescriptions, who's gotten them, et cetera, et cetera.
And what is the reason for that?
Because we have learned over the years that doctors find it to be a barrier in prescribing. They don't want to participate when they have all this paperwork that they have to do.
They don't want to document it that they prescribe some medication to a patient in this kind of situation. That's probably the reason why.
I don't know if that's it. I mean, that's not what we've heard. We have done, Compassion and Choices has done some focus groups, and that's not what they've heard about that, but just that there's so much reporting that has to happen. And I don't know specifically.
Not like we need more paperwork. Anyway, I'm glad you'd be able to make it. Mr. Blake Oshiro, welcome to the show. I met you maybe once with my brother at the Capitol. But
yeah, thanks so much for having me. Yeah. Thank you.
And so now, Blake, what are you doing now? When I heard your name, I was like, well, is he retired now? Is he in,
yes,
is
I'm
he still at the Capitol?
I'm retired from public service, and I'm now in the private sector, and I'm doing some consulting. And one of my main clients and passions is Compassion and Choices, and trying to really help them out so we can get some legislation passed this session.
So how many years have you been out of the politics now, out of the square building, as they say?
So I was 11 years in the legislature, 3 years at the governor's office, and now I'm in my second year of being a private citizen, which I enjoy.
Oh, great. Well, good for you. But yes. So you know this process in and out of how to get this passed, and I didn't hear Joe Suki's speech the other day, but I guess he'd mentioned in his speech about the medical aid in dying.
Yes. We're really excited that he actually talked about it and was supportive. He introduced our bill. We have some very good co-signers. And while there are about 5 bills that have been introduced on this topic, we have different approaches, but we all believe in the same goal, which is people should have the option of making a choice if they have a terminal illness on how they want to pass and control their own destiny. And so that's what we're aiming for.
So why is it a necessary option?
I don't know if it's a necessary option for every single person, but it is something that we do want terminal illness patients to have that choice. When you look at the data in a state like Oregon, who's had this for just about 20 years, not everybody that gets a prescription ends up taking it. What they want to do when they get that diagnosis of terminal illness is there's a fear of intractable pain and how they're going to end in their final days. And they just want to know that if they have to, they can take their own destiny in their hands.
Right. You know, I watched a documentary last year. It's How to Die in Oregon. And it really opened up my eyes. It allowed me to put myself in their position. And a lot of the patients, they got the prescription And they didn't use it. It was just nice to have it nearby. There was a gentleman, he just kept it near his nightstand just to know if he has intolerable pain, that he could take it out and utilize that. And another thing that I thought was pretty interesting, people say, oh, just give me a pill and that's it. I'm not able to educate them. It's not a single pill. You know, there's a process that occurs with this. And then I let them know about the documentary and to just educate themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think that as far as the people that get the prescription and then just keep it and don't take it, that's a really good response to folks who will say, well, it's suicide. Well, people really, this is not suicide. This is something very different. Mm-hmm. People don't want to die if they're terminally ill. They want to live. They want to live every last minute that they possibly can. But some people want to have control. And that's what this is about, is control.
Yeah, I think it's fear of pain. We don't want to be in pain. And I think that's when you talk to people, they're like, I'd rather just die in my sleep. Well, we all would. However, realistically, I think what is the percentage, like 5 to 10% possibly, but I mean, ultimately, it's the fear of being in pain and suffering.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing that we've seen is because it's a process to get the prescription to actually decide to take this, what it really does is it facilitates the discussion with your family about this is my decision, and when the time comes, I'm going to make the decision. And most of the time, people will have their family around them, their loved ones, and they'll decide when it's their time to pass on. And so that really is a much more sort of comforting experience if you have to, you know, pass on, rather than being doped up on morphine where you are barely, you know, conscious right. and in a comatose state.
And as Mary and I were speaking, I mean, what if you're allergic to morphine? You know, I mean, the options then, it's so limited. I was meeting with a client last week, and one of her allergies was morphine. First thing I thought of, well, what if she is in hospice and she's not able to regulate her pain? I mean, in my mind, that's what I thought of.
It's really sad for people who suffer from intractable pain. Mm-hmm. And really do need relief. And they have all decisions now are in the hands of the medical professionals, but and not in your own hands. And you don't get to make your own decisions. And that includes palliative sedation, for example, if you're in hospice. The doctors decide when that's right. Mm. Not, I don't get to say, just put me out, sedate me totally. I need to have this over.
Right.
I don't get to make that decision.
So the premise of the bill, and Blake, I'm going to ask a stupid question. You have a House Bill 201. What about the Senate bill?
So in the Senate, we have a couple of vehicles. Senator Lorraine Inouye has introduced one, as well as Senator Carl Rhodes. So we have two vehicles there. And there's three different House bills by Representative Greg Takayama, as well as Representative Ken Ito. And like I said, they all are a little bit different. Hmm. But the overall end goal is that we want to provide terminally ill patients with this option. And so some look like they're closer to the Oregon model. Some look like they're closer to California. But really, it's more about a how-to rather than, you know, the philosophical issue of if. And we know that that's going to be our biggest battle, is when we have a hearing taking on that debate of if.
Right. But I think the biggest thing that a lot of people, when I, you know, we work with seniors, Melissa and I, and on a daily basis, from policy level to actually physically working with seniors in their homes. And a lot of people, when you mention this, they think it's suicide, or they think the family makes a decision. But the real premise behind it is that they have to be sane. They have to be competent when they make that decision, right?
Yes, they have to be terminally ill. They have to be mentally capable. And they have to be able to ingest the medication themselves, which is why... That's what sets this apart, this practice apart from euthanasia, for example, where somebody's doing something to you. You have to be able to make the decision and take it yourself.
Yeah, and the doctor plays a very key role in this. They make a determination if somebody has any sort of mental comorbidity going on, if there's depression, if they feel that there may be some undue influence going on from family members. Then that's something that the doctor, it's really a doctor and patient relationship that is so key. And that's why we think that's one of the central things that we want to make sure is in the bill and really enshrine that.
So you mentioned that. What is the opinion of the medical field?
Go ahead.
So the medical field, you know, individuals have their own opinions, but there's nothing in the bill that forces any physician to do this. But the Hawaii Medical Association, which is the one professional association for doctors,
right.
We've been in some very good discussions with them, and it is our hope that they will remain neutral when this bill comes for a hearing, because we've taken care of a lot of their concerns, which is immunity, making sure that no doctor is forced into this. And so at that point, it will be up to individual doctors to make the choice whether they want to prescribe or not.
Well, you brought up something earlier, which is I think is very important. You have to have that conversation that doctor is a main person they need to talk to. And just hopefully they don't say, no, I don't believe in this. Or you go find somebody else to prescribe the morphine. And that's a big concern, because I work with doctors, and they're so strong in their personal beliefs. Whether it's religious or personal beliefs, or they've seen situations, or they've heard stories about people abusing this. I mean, we were at a meeting a couple months back. It was this attorney bringing up all these legal issues that could happen. But you said they've never had a situation.
There's never been an allegation of abuse in the close to 30 years of total practice. I think it's also interesting to note that right now the American Medical Association has agreed to even look at their own position, and they have a committee that's looking and will be reporting to them. I believe it's next in the spring. It might be another year from now, but they're doing a thorough review of their own position. They have stood against medical aid in dying, and while it looks like the rest of the community, for example, I'm just looking here at a number in a 2014 online survey by Medscape. 17,000 U.S. doctors representing 28 medical specialties indicated support. So that's quite a large group of supporters out there for medical professionals. And I think that if they feel safe, that people will be able to come out.
That's absolutely, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think if you have, if you know that you can go to your doctor and tell them, or just say, you know, this is my beliefs, because ultimately the doctor should listen to the patient, and hopefully doctors are listening to what their patients want and their needs are, and be very neutral and say, if this is what you would like, I do support you. That's just my belief, because I would want a doctor to say, Melissa, if you want to take this antibiotic, then go ahead. But I've also had a doctor say, no, you don't need it because you need to fight off this bacteria. And I can appreciate that as well. However, if it's a decision that I'm very wholeheartedly strong and, you know, for, I would hope that my doctor would support my choices.
Right. And I would hope that in a case where somebody's been ill for a period of time, mm-hmm. you have a relationship with your doctor.
Yes.
It's not like a one-off. You're going in saying, I'm terminally ill and write me a prescription. But you've had a long-term relationship as you've gone through your illness, and your doctor knows you pretty well.
Yeah.
And knows Good when point. You say, this is what I want, they're going to be able to respect that
your
decision.
Choice. Yeah,
we're going to take a break in a few minutes, but I want to cover one more thing before we take a break. In the news, it was reported that you guys did a survey of 603 registered voters over the phone. I believe it was a survey that you guys did recently.
Yeah.
And the report was 80% of those 603 voters said they're in support of this bill or in support of this compassionate choices stance. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. 603. We've did the survey of 603 individuals, registered voters across the islands, proportionate to the size, each sampling from right. the island. And 80% overall agreed that medical aid in dying should be an option for people here in Hawaii. And even more people than that felt that it should be a decision between the individual and their doctor and not the government.
And what about the family? Because, I mean, I come from a big family, and I have relatives that are more compassionate than others. And, you know, with the way the cost of dying in ER, which I'll talk about in the second half, that's just a problem in Hawaii, and the lack of hospice use, which I think is a huge problem. But I just hope, you know, these voters out there, well, first of all, more people vote. Yes. But I think they need to participate more. And I think the survey is a good indication of why it's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. People really do care.
Great. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're here with Compassion Choices, the oldest and largest nonprofit that supports and advocates for medical aid in dying. We're here with Mary Steiner, the local Hawaii campaign person, and then also Blake O'Sherrill. So we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to A Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I'd like to just mention a couple of events that are going to be occurring at the end of the month and beginning of next month. So we have Kukua Council, which is always the last Friday of the month. And
Harris United Methodist Church.
Harris United Methodist. And that's on Baratania?
It's on Vineyard Street.
Vineyard Street. I've only been there once.
And it's probably the best $5 you'll spend. You'll get a little pizza and salad or a Subway sandwich. And you might want to contact them in that they meet every month and a bunch of senior advocates. And we talk about senior issues. And they're very vocal.
Very.
I'm making a note.
Yeah. Actually, you can let me know later on. Mark DeLorme is the new president.
Okay.
Larry Geller is a past president, but you know they did have a pro bono attorney work for them. because they did file a lawsuit against the state for the state not making information aware on their website about care homes.
Oh, wow.
They are supposed to, but they still haven't got the budget to do that yet. And it's been 2 years. So anyway, sorry.
And our next mention is Kapuna Caucus, which is always the first Friday of the month, and that is at the Capitol, as we call it, the Square Building. And that is room 325.
Third floor, 329, from 1:30 to 3:30. And if you want to follow these issues on aging, you'll have directors from the Department of Health, Department of Human Services, Adult Protective Services, the Prosecutor's Office. You'll have some senators and House Representatives there. But you're going to also have a lot of the leading nonprofits and advocates like Melissa and I.
Yes. And, you know, other mentions that we can have, Catholic Charities of Hawaii, AARP, Office of Aging. So a lot of good resources and qualified and educated people out there to educate us as well.
Yeah, these are all the movers and shakers. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, especially the Neighbor Islands, all the directors on aging from Neighbor Islands come to this meeting as well. So it's 1:30 to 3:30, the first Friday of every month. And thank you. And I'm sad to say Senator Susie Chan-Oakland is no longer a politician either. And she has retired, but is active because she is now the director of Lana Kila Senior Center in Kalihi.
Congratulations.
So hopefully she still comes to the meeting, but she just won't be leading it. So hopefully Greg Takayama, I don't know if Senator Roz Baker is going to get involved. I'm not sure who else is going to lead that Kapuna Caucus. But if you're interested, it's very lively discussions. They're always open to ideas, and we get some vocal people there every once in a while. But it's really good to just... If you're in this industry of aging, it's really good to know who's around and how we can advocate for better life for seniors.
Mm-hmm. And resources. And, of course, tax season is right around the corner, the dreaded tax season. However, AARP is making it a little bit easier for seniors. They have a foundation to provide free tax assistance beginning February the 1st. The great thing is you do not need to be a member or a retiree to use this service.
You don't have to be a member?
Nope.
Really?
You do not have to be a member of AARP.
Anybody can do it.
Anybody.
And it's free.
And it is free. That's the best part.
I'm very knowledgeable, Mary, but I thought it was for members only. But I guess Melissa knows.
So go ahead and just call 1-888-227-7669, or you could 1-888-AARP now.
And it's a free service. So, yeah, they do thousands of tax returns every year. They have a whole stable of volunteers. And actually, it's a big list. If you go to their website, just go AARP.org and just look for a Hawaii tab. And you look at all the programs over there. But they will be on KITV very shortly. So we're going to list all the properties. And but anyway, it's a good service. Anything else?
Yes, and please do not forget to like us on Facebook.
And follow us.
Follow us on Facebook and then like us.
Yeah. And we do have a YouTube channel on Generations. If you go to YouTube channel and search for Generations Magazine, we have our own channel where we will be by the end of probably next month. We have all these radio shows downloaded on our website at generations808.com. So thanks, Melissa. Thanks for reminding me, because we always forget about that. So please like us on our Facebook page. Follow us, because we have a great intern from UH, Shayna, who posts three times a week. And she does mention the radio show as well. We're getting more and more followers. So social media is the future for a lot of us. In fact, what do they say? 60% of the baby boomers, 60% of people on Facebook are baby boomers or older. You know that?
No, so, that's interesting.
I'm on it. You're not a baby boomer, that's why.
No, but I am all over it. My husband's like, would you please put Facebook down? I'm like, sorry. He's like, you're addicted. And you know what? I am addicted, because that's how I keep in touch with my family on the mainland.
That's true. But anyway, we're here for a hot topic, a very controversial topic, a topic that needs to be discussed. And I've always been an advocate for families to be proactive in life, whether it's healthy aging or taking care of parent. It's basically, we're talking with Compassion Choices, Mary Steiner and Blake Oshiro, about medical aid in dying. I like the acronym you put it, MAID, M-A-I-D.
Right.
It's an interesting way of doing it, but I like that. So we're back to talking about this issue in Hawaii. I heard a comment from a politician, I won't say who it was, but that person said, there's a good chance it's going to pass this year. Blake?
Oh, we're hopeful. you know, so you, especially in the legislative process, you never count your chickens before they're hatched. There's a lot of work to be done. And so we still need, you know, the community out there to really participate and let their voices be heard, that this is an issue that they want the legislature to take up. You know, the legislature has a lot of stuff on their plate.
Yes.
And oftentimes things just fall in between the cracks or fall by the sides unless the community steps forward and says this is important. They want to hear a debate and discussion on this.
And Mary, you had mentioned that that will be an opportunity for the public.
On the evening of January 31st, from 5:30 until 7 p.m., we'll
Tuesday,
be,
right?
It's Tuesday night. We'll be holding a informational hearing, briefing, I should say, for anybody who's interested is welcome to come and hear from the point of view of advocates, doctors, people who've been through it, and basic good, solid information. We're hoping the legislators will show up as well. And if anybody has any other questions, they're welcome to email me directly at msteiner, S-T-E-I-N-E-R, at compassionandchoices.org.
And if they don't have email, are they able to call somebody here locally?
They can call me locally as well.
And your number real quick? We'll mention it again.
225-4563.
Good. And so it's at the auditorium Tuesday, 5:30 to 7 o'clock. The auditorium is downstairs in the basement,
right? It's all the way down in the basement, and we'll have plenty of time on the agenda for questions and answers.
Are you into, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't like driving down there because it's a headache, because I can't use my cell phone down there.
You know, I think you can now.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. I was down there yesterday, and I was on my phone.
Okay. But are you going to have any other open forums somewhere, different parts of the islands?
We haven't gotten anything planned yet. What we are doing is individual outreach to districts, to people who live in districts that are key to our legislators and in our committees. And I, from the Compassion Choices supporter list of many thousands of people, I have it down by district to contact people. And we have volunteers who will help make those calls as well.
So you see advocates in the list. Is it spread out all over the state, and is it pretty similar numbers of support?
Actually, if you look at our polling results, you'll see that the Big Island polled even stronger than Oahu did as far as support for this.
And what was the age range? Was there maybe one group that supported more than another age group, or was it what spread evenly throughout the survey?
It was spread out pretty evenly throughout the survey. I mean, they really had a very good sampling of demographics in terms of age group, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of religious affiliation, in terms of political party affiliation. You know, it was done by a very, very, very reputable firm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, much as some people may critique the fact that it was, you know, done by Compassion and Choices, you know, the people that conduct these polls, they have their own professional reputation to uphold. And so they meet certain standards to make sure that, you know, they can stand by the numbers.
Right.
Can I ask a question? I was reading, I don't know if I've read it in the story in the advertiser or not. I can't remember where I read it someplace, because I read a lot of things. I think it was the advertiser. It's mentioned about a story of a person that he taped his voice, and I don't know if it was a video or an audio, might have been both, that he said on the video that when the time comes down the road, when I become terminally ill, I do want to exercise my right to have medical aid in dying. Is that something that's an option, or does it still need, you still need to be coherent, you still need to be in front of somebody? You heard that story?
I don't know that story.
Okay.
But I do know that if somebody is terminally ill with 6 months or less to live, they certainly can request from their physician medical aid in dying. I'm wondering if somehow that story was mixed up in a way with advanced healthcare directives, where you're saying, you know, do not resuscitate me, do not give me any additional care if I get taken in to the hospital with something.
No, it was regarding death with dignity.
It was okay, then I'm sorry, I do not know.
Do you know off the top of your head that whether that would be legal or not? by any chance? Not to put you in a spot or anything. Not
yeah, no, you can't do it as an advance request. you have to have a terminal illness. There are a lot of safeguards in there to make sure that if you are going to be going through this process, that it meets those standards.
Because I can see how that could be down the road. I mean, if you have 6 months or less to live, you may not even be coherent at the time, but you know you want to do that. I mean, I thought about it myself. I'm only 57, but I think down the road, let's say I got a car accident or some major health issue that I would want to. I mean, I don't want to put the burden through my family and the grief of spending years being in a terminal state.
Right, but I would say then you would want to put it in your advanced healthcare directive.
Yeah.
And then your family or your medical proxy would be acting on your behalf, because if you're not fully in and out of it all the time, then you need somebody who's making the decisions for you. And if that's somebody who knows what you want and that you trust, you won't get to that stage.
So the basic terms is you have to be terminally ill, and the doctor has to put it in writing that you have 6 months or less to live. You have to be competent, and you need a doctor and or what was the term you used, Mary? Instead of having two doctors sign off on you that you're competent, it was a doctor and
like a nurse practitioner,
medical. Well,
you need to have your medical professional, your
medical
doctor
professional.
In this case, but certify that you are terminally ill.
But Oregon was two doctors, and you said Hawaii.
Was two doctors. Yes.
Hawaii is going to be one or two.
And if what we're looking at is the medical standard of care, often the doctor may decide to send you to somebody else for an opinion, but it is not written into the law.
What about some of the legal issues or religious issues that are coming up? Have you seen? How are you folks addressing those?
If you take a look at the polling, the polls show that it doesn't matter what religion you are, you're still look at this as a favorable issue and something that you would want.
Yeah, and so we understand that there will be religiously affiliated organizations that will stand in opposition on this. But we are very confident that the poll demonstrates when you ask individuals, regardless of their religious affiliation, they do see that they would want this choice for themselves, regardless of whatever their religion may be.
So the more they look at it is the choice of, once again, this is a choice that I'm taking on at the end of my quality of life, because that's really what it is. Do you want the quality of life or the quantity of life? And I think most people will agree that quality will oversee quantity. But once again, it's like, what do you want at the end of your life? And I think it also comes up with the topic of, as a society, we are not okay with death. When we really look at death or future deaths or our death, it is a topic that maybe we don't talk enough about. And it's okay when we are with somebody else, like a parent, because it's their time. I mean, you know, we're okay, it seems like, as a society. It's like, oh, yeah, it's their time. I understand. But I think we really need to look at our death, because this is our choice. And when we make that decision, that should be the decision of our death. So is that correct? Do you think as a society we're not fully comfortable with death, even though we are all going to die?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has hang-ups. It's a very uncomfortable topic. But, you know, what's really interesting when you look at a state like Oregon that's had this for 20 years, what they see is having this as something that is very public and people are aware of encourages that discussion with your family and those loved ones around you so that you really talk about this, right? And it is something that maybe somebody will now talk about at the dinner table because they see that there was some debate going on or some attention about it. And it really fosters the ability for those people that are nearing the end of their life to make their wishes known, regardless of whether they have a terminal illness or not. What they found was things like advanced healthcare directives, things like that get more utilized because people now realize that there are a panoply of options. And you just need to avail yourself of them and have a full discussion.
Yeah, I always say it's better to know what the future holds than to close your eyes and wait for it to happen. You know, I had a conversation with my mom. She does not have an advanced healthcare directive. And I said, Mom, what do you want me to do when you pass? What kind of flowers do you want? Do you want music? Where do you want me to bury you? Or she's like, nah, just throw me out in the ocean. And I said, it's nice for you to think that. However, I'm the one that has to put this together. So if we could have that discussion. But you could tell it made her feel very uncomfortable. And I just looked at her and I said, Mom, we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. So allow me to celebrate your life and tell me what your wishes are. So give me that choice and don't kind of rob me of that pleasure to celebrate, you know, the person that you allowed me to be as well.
Well, there's a big push by the hospitals. They've all signed, most of them all signed on, what's called Respecting Choices. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Well, but unfortunately, most of the hospitals here only bought into the third phase, which is the end of life. Mm-hmm. And by then, they're terminal by then. And so there's another group we had brought on a few months back. It's called Honoring Choices. And our attorney in the magazine, Stephen Yim, had created a nonprofit to go out and publicly talk about the first phase of end of life. So we're working with attorneys, financial advisors, insurance agents, realtors to do more public forums to talk about earlier stages, like when you're healthy, like right. Now.
The go-go stage?
Is an issue. Because, I mean, it was about 2 or 3 years ago when I really started looking at this topic, and I started out with going to Kukulmau, which is the local organization of hospice agencies, and I saw a fact sheet. I was really kind of surprised where Hawaii was, I think, third on the list of not using hospice in the nation. We were like third least to use, and I thought that was a very sad figure. I think we're up to maybe seventh or eighth in the nation. It's still pretty bad, but the bigger figure is we were number two in terms of dying in the ER, which is really horrible. It's very costly. Yes, the hospitals make money, but New York was number one, Hawaii was number two. This is about 3 years ago.
I think that one thing to say about Compassionate Choices and Compassionate Choices Hawaii is that we direct people to hospice. We feel that this is not a decision. Getting a prescription for medical aid and dying is not the end of it in and of itself.
Right.
But you really need to be in hospice care, under hospice care at home, in a facility, whichever, but to be able to have a full range of care.
But yeah. I mean, what happens if what's their opinion about this? Have you talked to them?
The National Association of Hospice Providers, which has an acronym that isn't coming to my mind right now, I understand is looking at their position right now as well, and will likely change it to be a neutral position from being an anti position of medical aid and dying. Our local group, Kukulmau, I understand, will be taking a neutral stance this legislative session.
And I don't mean to always keep pointing to Oregon, but I when a state has had this for 20 years, looking at their data really helps provide a clear insight as to what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Because people are so concerned, right, what Pandora's box is this opening. When it comes to hospice and you look at the data, over 90% of the patients that end up taking and participating in this program are hospice patients.
Right.
Over 90% of people that end up taking the medication do so in their homes. And so what you really see is a picture where this is just one more option that people have along the spectrum when they're going through their terminal illness, when they're going through hospice, their decision to die in their home. What they want to just have is that option in case it gets really, really bad, I can take the medication. And that's all really that we're talking about. And so that's why I keep talking about Oregon, because much as people have these apprehensions and fears and concerns, Oregon will tell us what will really happen.
Not to change the subject, but it's kind of the same off topic. As many years ago, I watched a very, very interesting movie about Dr. Kevorkian. And what was the movie that Al Pacino was in?
Okay.
Remember that? Did you remember seeing that show?
I'm not familiar with
that. Okay. It was many years ago. It was probably 10 years ago. But Al Pacino won an award for that, his portrayal of Dr. Kevorkian. But if you get a chance, I thought it was very fascinating. I just believe in getting people to just take a look at things. You make your own decision. But I thought it was very well. I thought he was so much ahead of his time. And I don't know if he was from Oregon or not, but I know he was from the Pacific Northwest, I believe, the movie.
The difference with what Dr. Kevorkian did and what we're talking about is that he did it to someone, and it wasn't a decision to do it. gift to be able to take it on your own.
Right, right. So are you going to have are you getting together with the local hospice agencies at all?
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of the local hospice agencies just individually and I've spent some time with Kokua Mau, with Jeanette from Kokua Mau, and a few of the board members as well.
Okay. We're looking at having them on the show in a couple of weeks because I always have to keep things balanced as well, but I just think I've seen so many. I like the editorial page now in the last few pages of the main section of the paper, and you see all these great opinions about all these issues, whether it's Trump, the rail, but many more about Death with Dignity. And it's interesting. Just I don't know if they're misinformed or it's just personal opinion, but some of the information there was not correct. Have you been reading those?
Yeah, and that's part of our job is to really educate people about what the issue is about, why there are so many safeguards, what the process is, because I think that answers a lot of those questions and those issues. And so we need to continue to put the correct information out there.
But have there been any so in terms of Oregon, since they have 20 years of data now, has suicide gone up? Do they have any data on how many people have exercised the law?
They do. So they really take a strong look at, it's reported. They know exactly how many people actually participated in this program. When you look at the data, it's actually less than 1% of the total amount of deaths that occur in this state are due to the Death with Dignity program. And so it hasn't realize any increase in suicide or any of the other fears that people talk about. Because it is such a precise process, it really is something that people choose to participate in. And even when you see how many people actually end up ingesting the medication, it's not everybody. And it started out as only about 40%. Now it's up to about 60-something percent. And so a lot of people just want the option, and they get the medication, and like you said, they have it on their nightstand in case they ever decide this is the time.
Okay, we have a couple more minutes to go. Mary, we need your information and your last words of wisdom here.
My last words of wisdom would be a couple of things for call to action.
Right.
Would be to go to our Facebook page, which is Compassion and Choices Hawaii, and see what we're doing because we are constantly updating that with new information about what's happening, some of what's happening on the mainland with this issue, and a lot now of what's happening in Hawaii and how you can help. The other thing we do, we have a website, which is compassionandchoices.org/Hawaii, which tells you information real up to date, has on it the news articles that have been appearing, and we're trying to keep that up as well. And come on next Tuesday night, the 31st, for at 5:30 to 7 for our informational
at the Capitol Auditorium
at the Capitol downstairs at the Capitol Auditorium at 5:30 to 7.
And your email and phone number, if we could.
And my email is msteiner, Steiner, at compassionandchoices.org. And my phone number is 225-4563. That's where you find me.
Well, good. So if you missed the next week's event, I'm sure you can follow him on Facebook. I mean, give Mary a call or email her because and speak to your politician, speak to your doctor. Most importantly, speak to the family.
If you're on a neighbor island and you can't get to the Capitol, then we will be putting it on Olelo, and so you'll see it on cable.
Oh, it's going to be on Olelo?
Yes.
Hopefully you have a link to your YouTube. You have a YouTube page you can watch
it? We have a YouTube page.
Oh, right. Okay. Anyway, so Melissa, any last words? I know you work for did some time with a hospice agency.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just having that choice. You know, as we age, we're a little bit unsure of what the future might bring. So it's nice just to have a choice of knowing that I am still in control of my life. I still have dignity at the end. And so I really, I think it's important to just keep choices open, options open.
Blake, any last comments? We got to run out of here, but thank you for showing up and I appreciate it.
No, thank you for the opportunity. We really think this kind of engagement is important, and so we're glad to be here and we welcome the opportunity.
And if you want to listen to this show again, we'll have it on our Generation YouTube channel and our website in about a month. We're working on that right now, so thank you very much. Everybody, we're here every weekend, Saturday, from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4 here on AM 690, The Answer. And every Friday morning about 6:45, I'll be on the radio with Mike Buck talking about this weekend's show. So everybody aloha and live well.